Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Apostle Floyd welcoming you to this period of time that God has given me to talk to you about various topics. And tonight, you know, like we have been for the last 3 to 4 weeks discussing leadership. So before we get into it, I want to go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, we thank you, O Lord. God, we appreciate you. Father, you are so great. God, you are omnipotent, Father. You are the great high priest, God. You are soon coming king. And Father, we just thank you, O God, as you prepare us, O Lord, to become the people that you have designed for us to be, O Lord, as you return for us. So, God, we just want you to be with us tonight, Father. God, you speak, O Lord. God, you orchestrate. This is not my program, Father. This is yours. I'm just a part of what you're doing. So, God, we just thank you tonight, O Lord, as you're sealing, O God, this time, this hour, God, that you have given us to use for your glory. We bless you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, again, I just want to be gracious enough and thankful unto the Lord for this time period and this hour. There are so many things going on. And the more that I look at things, the more I see how our present-day leaders are shaping our thought process. And because of that, you know, it shows me that we are so accustomed to hearing from man that we have not tuned our ears to hear from God. I've gotten so many responses from people that are listening across the United States of America, good, bad, and indifferent. And I'm not here to make anybody feel good or bad. I'm not here to gain popularity or I'm not even interested in gathering people together to become a part of a movement or a present-day church ministry. We have millions of ministries that are out here, and I can't tell you who is of God and who is of themselves. And because of that, it is important for you, the listener, you, the child of God, you, the servant of the Lord, to hear the voice of God. Amen. Speak to you and tell you where you should be and what you should be doing. By no means am I trying to orchestrate your thought process into following me. If anything, I'm really trying to point you to Jesus himself. We are flawed people, and even those that are listening that are leaders tonight are not perfect people. And so whatever direction God points you in, if you decide to hear from the Lord, will be an experience. Because regardless of where God sends you, that person or that ministry or that church is going to have some flaws. They're not going to be perfect. But the thing is, is to be a part of the body of Christ. And so it doesn't matter what building you walk in, it is Jesus that makes you a part of the body of Christ. Whether you take the right hand of a pastor, whether your name goes on somebody's roll, whether you're tithing to a certain ministry, or whether you attend with consistency, those things doesn't determine being a part of the body of Christ. Only Christ can control his membership, let me say that, and who is a part of that and who is not. Many people say they are a part of the body of Christ, and I'm not here to determine whether they are or not. You know, the only person that can answer for them and give it correctly is themselves. You know, and oftentimes people can think they're part of something, but, you know, Jesus don't know them, you know. And so that is, you know, the thing I just want to press to you today. But before we go any further, I want to give a brief overview. So we've been talking about the making of a leader, and I've used the book written by Frank DiMaggio, and it's a great read, you know, because it really kills myths in how we have selected or how we have chosen leaders that we would follow, you know. And I want to say that now, because where you are, you made the decision to be there. Now, whether God told you to be there or not, if you're going to follow the directions of the Lord, you have to make a decision to follow God's directions. So in the myth of leaders being people that are perfect or folks that have high degree of aptitude, they have doctoral degrees, or whether they attended a seminary or a secondary or higher education institution, you know, all of these things have been brought in to say that a person is qualified to lead. And this is man's idea of qualifications to lead now. And so the criteria of man changes because man's thoughts changes. It will change consistently. And so if they want to consider to be a part of a crowd of people, then their thought process is going to change. Where they excluded folks, they would include folks now. So it's not so much exclusion as inclusion. And so, you know, things change when you deal with man's understanding, okay? But God has never changed. And so he has never given the blueprint of how he will select a leader, because not one leader that was selected has been the same or has met the same criteria, which means that, you know, God is not revealing some things unto us, because I believe if he did, we would try to master it in a manner by which we can manipulate other people that are looking to follow Christ. Because in some instances, whatever Jesus has left, if he told them this is how he would select leadership, they would try to turn it into a religion and try to say Jesus wants this and he doesn't want that. So he has not given us the blueprint of how he's selecting leaders. Now, I said this before, and I want to reiterate this, is that some of you all that are listening tonight, some of you that are engaged in this hour are leaders, and you don't meet the criteria of many, you know. Once upon a time, people, you know, some folks had told me to get a doctor's degree, or I should go to college to get a degree in theology or something, because the degree would open doors for me. Now that's true in man's church. It will open doors for you, right? But some folks preach educationally and some folks preach spiritually. And so I say that because an educational person can captivate you with words, use very large phrases, and say things that may be over your head. The man or woman that will preach spiritually is not interested in captivating your thoughts or your mind. They're interested in capturing your spirit for Jesus, right? Y'all need to hear me now. And so that particular leader, you know, is not worried about the exegesis that is studied from a theological perspective. They are not concerned about the breakdown on certain things that would be given titles or deeds to. And I'm not talking about leaders, but how people do certain things. They're not interested in how you have categorized them, whether this is a six-step process from a biblical perspective on how God is going to deal with a sinner. And so that's not what one that is led by the Spirit of the Lord is going to do, right? Because there is only one way, but however Jesus chooses to deal with that individual, he may not deal with the other individual the same way. And so now saying that would indicate that he's not giving you, again, I say this, a script or the blueprint or the pattern on how he will select leadership. Therefore, you that are listening, I want you to hear me now, that God has selected you as a leader. Every person that has been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to the new people, those Holy Ghost, to those old folks, you know, everyone that has been filled are leaders. And so, it doesn't mean that you're a pastor, doesn't mean that you're a prophet, doesn't mean that you're an apostle, doesn't mean that you're a teacher or an evangelist, right? You could be, and then you couldn't be. You know, it just means that however God is going to use you to bring in his harvest. And see, that's the thing before I go into, again, in the chapter 2, I have to lay this to you, because the real leaders are the ones in the field bringing in the harvest, right? And now I'm going to go a little bit into this now before I get into this book, because we are in the feast now of the harvest in spiritual time. And so this is when God is choosing those that will go into the field, the land, the streets, or the homes, or the hospitals, or the schools, or the businesses. Wherever God shall send you, it's those that he has chosen, right, to go into a place where they don't know him, and they would bring in his harvest. Now, it's not important in a sense that we continue to gather as harvested people in a building all the time, because it's the harvest that is coming in that we should be attending to. And we cannot attend to harvest if we're not in the field. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And so this is critical now. This is crucial because a lot of you don't believe that since you don't go to church, you're not a leader. If you haven't been baptized, you're not a leader. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not a leader. Listen, you know, God can select anybody he wants. And when he touches you, he can transform you, and then you will be no different than Isaiah having a dream or vision and listening to God say, "Who shall I send?" And he raises his hand and says, "Send me, O Lord, I'll go." So let's keep that in mind now, because as we go through this book, I want you to see that you may not fit the mold of what man has selected as to be a good leader. You know, you may not even be invited in the room to talk to the rest of the good leaders. You may not be a part of the Zoom call, you know, of the good leaders. And that's okay, you know, because that doesn't mean that that's what God wants you to do. And so if you all just go with me now, I'm going into the book, The Making of a Leader. Again, if you don't have the book, please take the opportunity and get it. You know, the book is written by Frank DiMaggio. I think it is a great book for leadership, you know, for those servants, for those people that are willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good book, you know. And I'm on page number 15, if you have it, at the bottom of the page, starting where it says, the change of the concept of a minister, right? The change of a concept of a minister. And I'm going to read this now. It says, in the church today, leaders are called ministers more than they are called shepherds. The word shepherd, however, is a more accurate term to describe a man of God serving Christ's flock, especially as it is contrast with the way the word minister is used today. Today, the word minister refers to an ordained pastor, elder, or reverend who does the work of the Lord on a full-time basis. We need to ask ourselves, however, if this is the New Testament concept of the word minister, right? Are only some members of the body of Christ ministers, or are all members of the body of Christ ministers in the New Testament sense of the word, which is servants? Y'all need to pay attention to that now, because we do identify people that teach and preach as ministers. But every one of you that are listening are ministers. Modern day man has taken the word minister and put it along with those people that have man's leadership on it. And so the word minister or servant has undergone a drastic and very unfortunate change, both grammatically and theologically, since its original use in the New Testament. Grammatically, let's look at this now. In the early church, AD 33 AD, minister was used as a verb, an action word. The word minister, of course, is intimately connected in meaning with that, in the meaning of that of the word ministry. Y'all got that? The word minister, of course, is intimately connected in meaning with that of the word ministry. Thus, all Christians in the early church had a ministry of actively, dutifully, functionally, and effectively working for the Lord and his people. This was true for fishermen and doctors, regardless of occupation or levels of education. The concept of a minister, right, and they said Christian servant, I just said servant of the Lord, with a ministry, a specific service in the body, applied to anyone who performed normal Christian functions, leading someone to Christ, helping widows, praying for the sick, exalting others, were functions of all Christian performance. Now, the inaccuracy in the writer here is that, now, it's pointing you out correctly about ministry and minister, but it's not correctly telling you or it's calling you Christians, because this is the name that man has given you. Now, I want to, you know, again now, all of you have a name. All of you have a name. And if your parents gave you a name, that is the name you should answer to. When someone in the street give you a name, until you accept that name, it's not the name that your parents gave you. It's the name that family members or people in the street has given you, and we refer to that as a nickname. It is not a name that you can use that can be identified with a birth certificate or driver's license, right? So we must be mindful now, even in reading these things, that we understand or know what Christ has called us. And so in pointing out the grammatically, you know, change of the word minister and ministry, right? It is. It's a functional service. You're doing something. That word minister doesn't have is not a pronoun. It's an action verb, right? That means that you're doing something. Doesn't mean that the only thing you're doing is putting on a suit and walking into a building, right? And see, we have come into a place where, from a grammatical perspective, we don't have a true understanding of what a servant or minister is. We are here to serve, right? So every one of you, whether you are standing in the pulpit or not, are ministers of the gospel, right? Not of the book that we read, the four gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not what I'm saying. We are a minister of the work of Jesus Christ. Woo, Lord Jesus. We are servants. We are bond servants to the work of Jesus Christ, right? That means that we are tied to, we are connected to the things that Christ has given us to do, and he's given us people that he brings our way that we can serve, right? Now, it said minister means how we serve. We have so screwed up what minister and ministry is that we take that service to be some high accolade or some type of trophy or garment that we put on that puts us above others. But if you really wear the garment of a servant, right, if you really understand the meaning of the word and the process and what we do as servants, it doesn't have anything to do with a trophy or a high-level garment or a name that we put above others. It has everything to do with how we will humble ourselves and we will carry the water to those that are thirsty, how we will bring the food to those that are hungry. And so there's a difference in this, and that is the thing that we must pay close and immediate attention to. So, you know, God is making this possible in this hour that we would, above all situations, understand the level that he has put us at when it comes to ministering or serving the people, right? Serving the people that God has given us to serve. And this is how we serve him. We're serving him, but he brings us people that we can serve through to him, right? I want y'all to grab that now, because if God don't send you anybody, you know, you can't serve him. If he don't bring you the sick, the lost, the hungry, the naked, you how can you serve him? If he don't bring you the people that live in sin, how can you serve him? You know, if he don't put you out in a desert place where people are missing and folks don't know where they are, how can you serve him? We don't serve him by sitting on an island by ourselves, right? I just want y'all to grab hold of that now. So we have not done justice to the grammatical changes that we made to the word minister. Now, from a theological perspective, we change the theology, right, and really change how we understand the word minister, right? And in the, what we call the early church in 33 AD, minister referred to as members of the body of Christ who had a part in serving. The theological meaning of the word did not apply to a small elite, but to an active body of believers. Nor did minister make any distinction between clergy and laity as we use it today. All believers in the early church were understood to be ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilling different roles in the kingdom, right? And one, now that's another one, right? So not only are we servants to the Lord, right, but we're servants in the kingdom of God, right, because he is our boss and we work for him. So now I use this word very, very uniquely to some, Kingdom is not something that you can build for God. For the kingdom of God has already been built. And so, again, we use that and say that we are kingdom builders because folks give a lot of money. You're not a kingdom builder because you're giving money, because God's kingdom is not of this world. You cannot build the kingdom of God. You cannot build the kingdom of God. You can only be a part of the kingdom of God as he has drawn you in. Y'all need to grab a hold of that now. So then it says, as the builder of the church, right, which are the body of Christ, the Lord would not leave his people in a destitute state in which only part of his body functions properly. In these last days, God is pouring out his spirit upon the church to restore to her the truth of all, it says, Christians are called to ministry. Not say all believers, right? So now, again, the Lord has already poured out his spirit. It's already out. It's been out. Right? And he doesn't have to renew pouring out his spirit. It's been poured out. And because it's been poured out, it only requires you to believe, right? And so now, and then it goes on, right? Because I have to read this. This is so important. The false concept of an extreme division between clergy and the laity have given rise to many problems, right? It has given rise to many problems. Positionally minded people pursue ministry positions without aspiring to true service in the body of Christ. Professionally oriented people may attain a church title yet miss the anointing of God. Authoritarian people may domineer the flock of God, thinking that ministry is exercising power over people's lives. Hypocrites like Pharisees lay unto others the heavy burdens that they would not touch with one of their own fingers. The division between clergy and laity produces a lazy majority of people in the church who do not realize their callings in God. Deacon boards rule over local elders and congregations. Politically orientated leaders put professionalism, money, and man-pleasing before the flock and pleasing God, right? Hear this now. An overlooked minority does most, if not all, of the true ministry in the body of Christ, right? Many are overlooked, and I don't believe that, right? Man cannot see what God has revealed. So you may feel, let me take that back, you may feel overlooked in man's church, but God gave you something that man cannot approve. And since he gave it to you, it doesn't matter if they allow you to use the gift that God has given you, because either they can't control the gift. And if you only want to use the gift when you're walking that into that building that they call the church, then you don't have an understanding of the gift that God has given you. So let's go to this now. The original New Testament definition. The above definition is a far cry from the body of Christ as the New Testament defines it. To believers in the early church, right, ministers was a verb, an act of service, and it was understood to be an inseparable part of their faith. In the 20th century, minister is a noun, the name given to one special individual who has attained a position of high religious status. The following simple diagram, they have a diagram down here now, that if you have the book, you can go through and you can look at it. But the difference in between after the death of Jesus Christ in AD 33 all the way up to the 21st century, and how that this change has come, right? So now, I'm going to read this last paragraph in this because it's important. God wants to overthrow the false division between clergy and laity, along with its pitiful results and restore the New Testament truth to ministry. In the making of in this book, The Making of a Leader, the writer wants the church, right, leaders as ministers, because God intends for ministers to be an action rather than the name of a title. We will refer to the church leader as a minister and the leadership in general as ministry. In light of the Bible's own directives, right, on the subject, this seems like the most appropriate title for the position. So, you know, again, we can see that even the writer here in this book, you know, Dr. Frank DiMaggio, is saying that we look at ministers today as people that have a title, you know, and so we put those titles on them and give them a high status or look at them as high regard, right? And so we've twisted some things. And I'm going to go a little bit further in this, and I know he's going to step into this. You know, we have really created our own problems in this particular setting here. We have created this problem because following Christ ourselves became too big of a responsibility. You hearing from God became too big of a responsibility. And so because of that, you know, we used pastors and the rest of these governmental gifts as scapegoats so we would not have to seek the Lord for ourselves. And that's true now because you wanted to put the responsibility, because we read that scripture, the Lord is my shepherd. And so we think that pastors, because they are considered the shepherd, right, that they're responsible for leading us, you know. And we're going to get real deep off into the word pastor, right, and what it actually means later on in this book. But it becomes real, you know, intensified that we step back and take a real hard look now at what we are putting in the hands of a man or a woman, right? If the angel is at the gate, you know, pointing to the tree of life, and the pastors are considered the angels of the house, then they should be pointing to the tree of life. But if they're pointing to themselves, they are not at the gate. They're someplace else, right? Now, it goes into leading in the Old Testament, you know, in this book, and so, I'm going to read this because the next part, the next couple of parts here are critical and very important. And again, I'm not going to get through chapter 2 as quickly as you all may think, because there's a lot of information in here and things that we need to consider. Leading my service in the Old Testament, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, that's in Proverbs 14:35. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. And that is Proverbs 17:2. In the Old Testament, a leader of God's people was first of all a servant of God and of his people. Servanthood went before leadership and was a vital part of leadership. As of the old, y'all got to hear this now, under the Old Testament, leaders named below were described as servants of God and of others. Abraham, God's servant. Moses, God's servant. Joshua, God's servant. Caleb, God's servant. Samuel, God's servant. David, God's servant. Y'all hear me? Elijah, God's servant. Isaiah, God's servant. These are just a few of the many leaders in the Old Testament whose leadership was founded over servanthood to God and others. Please note that in this list, both Joshua and David were servants to the leaders over them, whose positions they were later to fill. We will examine more carefully that the area of the servanthood in chapter 5, right? And they're going to go a little bit deeper in this. Now, the thing that watch how people have taken this, because it's true, they were servants of the people that were over them. And then later they will become that man in that position because they were servants, right? You know, and so service comes before leadership, right? Now, I want to specify how this is being done. Every man and woman of God are servants first before you lead, right? And really it's a sign of following Christ, because you're serving God, and the way that you lead is to serve the Lord. I want y'all to grab a hold of that concept, right? The real leader is a servant of the Lord and of God's people. Y'all hear that? The real leader is a servant of the Lord and God's people. And you have to understand that concept. You have to understand that concept, right? Now it says from servant to leader. The Hebrew word for leader is N-A-G-I-Y-D, Nagid. It has a servanthood on a base element, and developing out of that base, setting forth an example to the people. The meaning to this Hebrew word for leader stands in interesting contrast to the Hebrew word king. Though the Hebrew word king is melech, was fairly neutral in the meaning, I allow the possibility of dispositionism. This is what Samuel warned the Israelites against in 1 Samuel 8:9-18, when they asked for a king, and that it was what Saul's kingship degraded into, right? By contrast, the word they use for leader then has at its root the picture of a man under authority, one who is subject to a higher power and who fulfills the wishes of that power. That was the kind of ruler God wanted to give the people, a man who would listen to his will and execute it faithfully with divine imparted authority, right? So David, a man after God's own heart, was God's Nagid for Israel, right? So what the writer here is saying, which is true, is that that there was a different word for leader than there was for king, a completely different word. And so because of that now, the shepherd leader, right, took a new turn forward. Because the shepherd is a beautiful illustration of a leader who goes before the people to prepare the way for them. He must go before God's people in his own experience and lifestyle so that he can lead them safely past dangers into God, into good of green pastures. Now notice now, because I want you to grab a hold of something. There are illustrations of leaders, and there are analogies by name. A good leader is a shepherd, right? And so, so listen now, the good leader analogy is that of a shepherd, the analogy. Right? Because a leader is not a shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. But the leader has to be submitted to the will of God, and that they will follow Christ Jesus. Right? So now you got to understand the difference now. Right? Some people don't understand the responsibility of a shepherd or the role of a shepherd. And for that reason, pastors, you know, think that they should control things, the activities that are around them, because they are responsible to God for this ministry or this church or this building. And that's not what they are responsible for. They are held responsible for God's people. They're not serving a building. They're not serving an offering. They're not serving a song. They're not serving any type of organization within that, they are that who serve the people. I want to make that clear now. And so anytime that we are serving the servant, when the servant is supposed to be serving the people, right, then we have problems. Now, God never said, listen to the cry of the people. If you're following Christ and you hear him as a servant of God, you'll give the people what Christ wants them to have. And you won't hear the people tell you what they want, and then respectfully, they will go and do something different. You know, so now we have to take that in mind and keep those thoughts where we are, because a misunderstanding of leadership, you know, as we know it today, is where we are. We don't really understand leadership. So now, the governmental ministries in the New Testament, Ephesians 4 and 11, all of those that are in some type of leadership position knows that scripture, list the governmental ministries of the body of Christ, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. In the past, many believers have viewed these gifted ministries as the only people in the body of Christ who have a specific work to do for the Lord. As we have already seen, all believers have a work to do for the Lord. Governmental ministries oversee and develop these ministries in the rest of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 and 12 tells us that these five governmental ministries prepare the saints for the various ministries, but do not all of the ministries for the saints. In so many words, it's saying they prepare you, but they're not doing them. They don't do everything. They can't. You know, they're serving you. That job is to help you do your service at the highest level. I am, as a leader, governmental leader, it is not for me to put on the gold and all the rest of these things and stand above everybody else. But it's for me to put on the workable garment that I can help you perfect the very gift that God has given you, to show you and point you directly to Christ Jesus so you can perfect your gift, right, that Christ has given you. And in the perfecting of that gift, right, you help work it together, the things in the body of Christ that needs to happen. Again, if you can work that gift, if you can perfect that gift, and we all are perfecting the gift and being led by the Spirit of the Lord, that we are part of a functioning body that is called the body of Christ, the ecclesia. We are all leaders that are pushing one agenda. That agenda is Jesus Christ, that is bringing in his harvest, because it's harvest time for him. Oh, I feel the power of the Lord in this place right now. Hallelujah. These governmental gifts here, right, you find that it's used for the perfecting of the saints, right? This is so critical now. It's so important. I'm going to stop there, right? We're on page 19. And so these gifts are not titles. If you are placing a title on these gifts, then you don't understand the power that's in it. Now, God has put these things together that every piece that is working within the body of Christ, right, is fully functional, because within that, when you're working and when you are serving the Lord, using your gift, there is no lack. There's always something being supplied. There is no missing link when you're working in the gift. And so when someone don't understand it, God has someone that does. And this is what makes the body of Christ so strong, so powerful, so enduring, so uplifting, and so overcoming. It's the body of Christ now. All the all this body of believers, regardless of your skin color, your nationality, your gender, regardless of that, these are all the people that Christ has selected, and he pointed to them and said, who will go? And all of you have said, I'll go, Lord, send me. And so he selected you. He's pulled you in. He's placed you in a spot. He's put you in a position, and that you could do whatever needed to be done, putting on your workable garment, whether it's in the garden to plant the seed, whether it's tilling the garden, you know, whether it's bringing in the harvest, whatever that is, if you understand it, then you are a leader. God is making you. That is the power in this, my brothers and my sisters. This is the piece that you may be missing. The reason why you don't find fulfillment where you are. The reason why you feel left out. The reason why you feel overlooked is because you're looking for validation from man. But man didn't give you the gift. Man could not even orchestrate the gift. Man is not the gift giver. Man cannot give you power beyond the gift. Man cannot even tell you how God is going to use you in this gift. He can speculate, sometimes prophesy. But that's all man can do, because the strength of the gift, the sincerity of the gift, the integrity of the gift, right, the blood of the gift is going to come from Jesus himself. And until you, right, look beyond where you are, whether they're overlooking you, they're not overlooking you. They're overlooking God. They're not excluding you. They're excluding God. And so that's why they conjure up these things to try to make people believe that something has happened. But the one that's walking in the body of Christ is just coming in and declaring the will of the Lord. Dear hearts, the strength and the power of knowing what true leadership is discounting and rejecting the thoughts that have been given to us for years of fitting in a mold, whether you have to have license from the Southern Baptists or the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World or the Church of God in Christ or the full gospel. You have to be licensed in order to preach the gospel. You have to be licensed in order to feed the homeless or shelter them. You have to be licensed to just give a lending hand. No, you don't. All you have to do is do the work. The real message that's being preached out of the body of Christ is through the lives of the believer in this ecclesia. The real gospel is being revealed through the lives of the real leaders in this ecclesia. The real mind-blowing miracles that are taking place is being revealed in those that are the real leaders in the body of Christ, because wherever they are who they are. And no church or organization or license determine their wealth and strength in the eyes of Jesus. They don't do that. And so they can be in the grocery store and declare the will of the Lord. They can be in the hospital and declare the will of the Lord. They can be on an airplane in flight and declare the will of the Lord. Wherever they are, in a boardroom with other board members, CEOs, or whether they are a bus driver driving the bus, they are leaders and can declare the will of the Lord. Dear hearts, it is a blessing. And I feel, I see it very, very clearly that somebody is grabbing a hold of this as I look at the comments. Somebody is really receiving this. And just the thought of receiving this, right, is changing the very steps that you're making. You know, I had the opportunity to tell someone the other day, because God gave me permission, was that they have power, you know, over the angels. God has given them rule over a host of angels that they have. And so, you know, that real leader that has discovered the strength of the messenger that God has given them, right? The warriors that God has given them, you know, to call upon that angelic host when there is something brewing around you. You are part of this ecclesia. Don't just accept because they won't let you preach, or they won't let you teach, or they won't let you sing, or whatever they won't let you do. You have the power of an angelic host that is around you. You are a true leader. Call upon these angels that they open doors that a degree cannot even hold open, that they close the doors that a degree can't even begin to even move without their own strength. So these angels have the authority that is given by God to move now upon your very request. And so this very moment right now, they're waiting on you, that true leader. That leader of men and women is a real servant. Because God has given you something that you can serve to his people, and they are receptive to it right now. Dear hearts, God is tremendously good to us. He has done great things. And even in the midst of the pandemic, some of us lost some people, some of us didn't, you know, but some of us knew people that did pass. Some of us know folks that are getting sick now. Where are the leaders is the question. You know, you're looking for the government to lead you. No. You're looking for politics to lead you. No. You're looking for the Department of Health and the CDC to lead you. No. My eyes are still set on Jesus. So, my brothers, my sisters, before I close here tonight in prayer, I want to say this. I hear there's another virus coming. They have named it Delta, the Delta variant. And it supposedly is taking a roughshod on people now. They can't seem to do anything about it. As of this very moment, for those that have been vaccinated, they say that you're 80%, I guess, protected. The real vaccination right now is coming from the leaders, not political people standing in mirrors or in front of the camera, not those that are trying to do it in front of people and ask for an offering. The real leaders right now are the ones that are constantly receiving instructions from the Lord, because you are his people. I'm a part of that. And if we are to serve God's people, we as the leaders should be before the Lord right now, because the other plague is coming. The first plague affected God's people, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, and those folks that wasn't a part of it. This time, some blood now is going to cover some people. The leader that receives the instructions and is willing to pass those powerful, spiritual, that will manifest itself natural instructions to the people, God is going to draw a line. And you all will begin to see who is on the Lord's side. I think this is an identification time period for man's church to really back up, because they don't know who Jesus is. But this is the time for the body of Christ not to stand up with their chest stuck out, but to become the real servants, right, that they have been hidden in the time. And now God is about to reveal them. Pray with me real quickly. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you tonight, Father. God, I pray, Lord, that instructions and direction have been given to your people. Father, it's important in this hour, oh God, that the real leaders stand up and serve, Father. That we not go into hiding because folks don't like us, that we not go into hiding because people don't want to hear us, or we don't have enough money, or we don't have a building or anything of that nature. Father, raise up your leaders right now, God, that they would be there when it's time to tell the storm to stop. Father, when it's time, oh God, to raise the dead, Father, bring your leaders today, Father. When it's time to speak words of life to those that are sick and ill, dying miles away, but because of the faith of the ones that are standing there, they are healed. Father, it is time for those leaders, oh God, to make an uprising, Father, not loudly that they would be seen, that they will have recognition, but, oh God, that they hear that sound that is coming from heaven. Lord, I thank you, oh God. I declare this day, Father, that the uprising of the leaders happen, and, Father, that the ones that no one would expect, oh God, to stand up, oh God, raise their hands and say, I'll go. I bless you, oh God. Father, I appreciate you because you gave me that opportunity to say, I'll go, and you have sent me. I bless you, oh God. Let every ear that hears this prayer, that have listened to this broadcast, Father, that you have given me to serve, Father, receive what you have given me to give unto them. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Well, dear heart, again, I am grateful, you know, that you would share your time with me as God has given it to me. And so as I depart tonight, not from this earth, but from your presence, I pray that the will of the Lord be masterful upon your life. Listen to this. God bless you. I love you. Talk to you later. Oh. Oh,